wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. What's your verdict, good or brutal? As you and I pass by a house, we hear a defiant teenager yelling at his father, "Dad, you shut up. You don't tell me what I have to do. I'm going to do what I want to do, so you just mind your own business." We slow down our walk, wondering what will be the reaction, and we hear in a firm voice, "Son, you tell me to mind my own business. That I will do. And my important business right now is to try and keep you from being a rebellious, reckless youth. So here is the medicine God has prescribed." And then we hear that big shot boy yell beneath the chastening rod. I turn to you, my neighbor, and ask, what is your verdict? Is that father a cruel brute? Or is he a loving father doing his utmost to check his rebellious son from a wild and self-destructive career? I don't think you would suggest that we condemn and interfere with that father chasing his own son. But what is that to do with you and me? Your sins and my sins were defiant acts of rebellion against God. They were like a slap in his face. They were like our attempt to kick the Almighty God off his own throne of supreme control and for us to enthrone ourselves. No wonder then that he accepts the challenge and his wrath is kindled. God's reaction also indicates his sincere desire to check us from destroying ourselves in our wild rage. All our sins are against God, and they also involve our fellow man, for no man liveth unto himself. The man who gets drunk at the nightclub is not treating his employer right, for he comes to work unfit to do a good job. The daughter who takes her dope and stares lustfully at the TV leaves the housework for her tired mother to do. She both destroys herself and makes a slave out of her mother. Sin worketh death, not life. It is self-destructive, and it incapacitates us to be an asset and blessing to others. But chiefly, it separates us from God and causes his compassionate love to turn into his righteous wrath. And who can stand before the wrath of Almighty God? To attempt such would be as silly as to boastfully face a 100-mile hurricane or 30-feet-high ocean waves. Let the fear of God be upon us all. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Surely no sensible human can afford to live and die under the wrath of God abideth on him, as the Bible says. Neighbor, look back a bit over your past life. See how that every one of your sins took its toll out of your very personality, leaving its ugly scar. Think of how, going your own way, you brought sorrow to your parents and disappointment to your friends, so they lost any esteem they had for you. And the God who loved you, giving you in his word, the Bible, the pathway to blessing and honor, was first deeply grieved to see you take instead the road of your self-gratifications in your lusts and wicked desires. And then, as God saw you become addicted to such a life, his grief turned to anger. Well, you know that God's face has no smile for you, but his eyes flash with righteous rage. Wake up! See, the road ahead is paved with thorns and leads down to the tormenting flames of hell fire for you. When the prodigal son in the hog pen saw himself living that fool's life and dying in starvation, he came to himself. He used the sense he was born with, and he listened to his God-given conscience, and he took action. Neighbor, with your blighted past, your miserable present, and your fiery future staring you in the face, is it not time for you to do something about it? If you ask, what can I do now? Holy Scripture answers, now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That you can do now. if you will. Get alone with God and confess to your sins. Tell him you fear that furnace of fire he has for all who do iniquity, for you know you deserve it. Plead with him to show you his mercy, and be sure to add, for Jesus' sake, he died for my sins. This will bring into your wretched dilemma the one who is your only hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for our sins in awful agony on that cruel cross of Calvary. Thus he provided salvation for every repentant sinner who calls upon him to be his Lord and Savior. So the Bible assures us, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can repent, and you can call on the Lord Jesus to save you. Instead of grinding your teeth in God defiance, in humble repentance, call on the Lord Jesus to be your Lord as you surrender to him to do his will, and to be your Savior as you entrust yourself to him to save your eternal soul and change your life. And be so much in earnest you determine, if I go to hellfire, I'll have to go there calling on the Lord Jesus to save me. When you thus seek the Lord with all your heart, he will save you and receive you to be one of his own. And in your inner spirit, you will have the blessed assurance, I am my Lord's and he is mine forever. Then, becoming a new person in Christ Jesus, your old life will begin to disappear, and a new life will take over with peace and joy within, and your life becoming a blessing to others, but best of all, a life glorifying to God. In your heart will be a song of praise to the Lord Jesus, whom you now love. And in your mouth will be a testimony to your friends and foes of what the Lord Jesus has done for you, and he's ready to do for them too. And when your journey on that narrow road ends, we will find ourselves in heaven to join in with all the redeemed of the Lord in singing unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us what we are. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And instead of suffering the utmost of the wrath of God, we shall enjoy his eternal love as his dear children. No wonder heaven shall resound with his praises, and we can't wait to join in. So we must start in here on earth with our hallelujahs. Praise ye the Lord. Amen.